sorry for the interruption of your usual viewing. And please don't try to change channels.
This is Rush to Reason. Ta-da! With John Rush.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Oh, wait, we have something to aspire to then.
And Dan Muir.
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
Discussing the issues that matter to you.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men.
Finding real answers, using logic and reason.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I get it. I swear I've seen a lot of stuff in my life. But that was awesome.
Let's do this.
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Denver's Afternoon Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Damn, you're in for the vacationing, John Rush. And with me today is my very, very good friend, the former mayor of Cranston, Rhode Island, and congressional candidate, Steve Laffey. How you doing, man?
Good. I've done some other things, too. But it's great to, be here.
All right. So what have you done, Mr. Laffey? Because you're kind of the guy that just kind of sits back and relaxes all the time, aren't you?
Most of the time.
No, you do not. Now, stop it. So you've made movies, you've written books, you've run for office, you've run businesses. Tell the audience a little bit more about yourself.
It's very, very briefly. I'm a poor kid from Cranston who was blessed to end up, and didn't pay for it, ended up going to Harvard Business School because someone else had passed away, and they paid for my scholarship to go there. And I was out, and I helped run a big investment banking firm down in Memphis, about $500 million revenue firm in my 30s. And my hometown went bankrupt. I went home, became the mayor of the second largest city in Rhode Island, run by a bunch of whack jobs, and fought with a bunch of people, both parties, Republican, Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm an author of a book called Primary Mistake, which everywhere I go, people still read this book. Like, I don't know why. It's an old book, but if you're really interested in politics and what goes on at the grassroots level, and you're a Tea Party type person, you want to know who was the first guy doing the Tea Party stuff before the Tea Party, it's me, actually.
It was you.
And it's been written up that it's me, by Democrats mostly, who hate me. That guy
Steve, in all fairness, so did the establishment Republicans.
Yeah, and they hated me too. They still do.
They come after you.
And I really hate them now. This tax plan really has me. They don't even get me started. I may just jump out a window yelling about the tax.
Don't, because it's 12 stories.
Stupid thing they just passed. I made a movie when I came here. When I moved here to Colorado, I bought a little ranchette, I guess you call it. And probably the best thing I've done secularly is a movie called Fixing America, which people still watch too, kind of astounds me that people, except for one scene about the debt clock, you wouldn't know. And I've remade a movie that hasn't come out yet, but will, called Stop China Now.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you give us a little insight?
Well, the insight is, if you've ever heard me talk, China is eating our lunch, and we need to stop them now. And it's about, I don't know whether I don't know if we could ever get it released, because in order to get it marketed, we have to have some people who have disassociated themselves from communist China. But like now when they make a movie where communist China is going to attack us, but they have to change it to North Korea, the power of China continues to grow, and we let it, even though the president talks a good game, and that's how we got elected. And if you remember, I was a guy who said he was going to get elected on this issue, and it's still the issue, and we care about legal immigration greatly, not illegal immigration that he's backfired on, and will probably, I think this coming November could be a real, real disaster for the Republican Party, about trade, which he's done effectively nothing about.
No, he really campaigned on that, especially in the blue states.
He promised.
The Rust Belt states that he was going to do something about this trade deficit and all the jobs that are leaving America.
And the trade deficit is now 15% higher than it was the year before he took office. 15% higher to an all-time high. The trade deficit with communist China is at an all-time high. Higher and higher and higher. And costing Americans millions of jobs and, quite frankly, funding... Does everybody realize that funding a communist country, that if you get caught with the Bible there, it's not quite North Korea. They don't actually just murder you on the spot or make the wife, like when she has a baby, drown the baby or stuff like that, or kill the whole family.
Right.
But you yourself basically disappear.
Yeah, it's not too far from
you. You get beaten. You might get released someday. But okay, that's what they do. So we give them a 45% discount, the guys who beat people who have Bibles.
I'll never understand that. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You're president today.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle China?
President today, you put tariffs on their goods coming into the country. You tell them they have 90 days to get rid of the islands that they're building in the South China Sea. You tell Pakistan. People know that they're building naval bases? Nobody listening to the show knows they're building naval bases. They have one in Africa, and they're going to build one in Pakistan. And you tell Pakistan in no uncertain terms that we're coming after them and their leaders. They are not to have China build a new base over there. Then you've got to take out their islands. Listen, China's not going to have a war with us yet. They only have one, and maybe now they've launched their second aircraft carrier. It's not going to happen. Our nuclear submarines are much better than their nuclear submarines. We could actually take out their nuclear submarines all in one shot. We could, if we lined them up, and we can hear them. Go back to read your great novels of the past. We can actually hear them. They can't hear us. So the thought process that we're going to allow them to have bases protecting out into the South China Sea is bizarre. Why do we have Navy SEALs? We happen to take care of these problems. So why wouldn't one of those things just... In 1960, early 60s, Cuba was going to put offensive missiles in Cuba. It was called the Cuba Missile Crisis.
Exactly. Yep.
We did something about it. We put Marines down in Florida. They're about to go in. Kennedy made a bad trade, but he turned the ships around. He made missiles.
Well, we had
Turkey.
The blockade.
But we had the blockade. Why is this any different? Like, these missiles are a lot faster, a lot stronger. Is it okay with everybody listening that they're putting offensive weapons? We're worried about North Korea? China's building islands out of sand. They are threatening people around them. And we are doing zero. So the question is, do we make a decision, America? You want to live under communist rule, or you want to live as a second-rate citizen? You want then move to England.
So is North Korea the distraction as China goes and
yes.
does what it wants to?
North Korea is a total distraction. I mean, think about it. For 30 years plus, we were told from President Nixon to today, we were told by the Wall Street Journal to today, we were told by every single person, read every single article, that if we gave them a good deal in communist China, let them into the World Trade Organization in 01, thank you, Clinton, thank you, Bush, both Republican Democrats, that they would become a democracy or a republic and they would look just like us and be great trading powers and be a peaceful country. President Xi is now Mao. You might as well refer to him as Mao II. He's the only other leader of China to have his words put into their constitution. He is a one-man ruler of the country. He's a total autocrat. They just had a Communist Party meeting of 450 of them, and he is the top dog for life. No more stepping down after 10 years. He runs the country.
So he's been elevated to Mao status.
He's been elevated to Mao status.
And Mao is like a god to them.
Yes, this is what's happening. So the president of the United States promised us during the campaign, and I've heard it on Rush, and I've heard these other talk show hosts saying he's kept all his promises. He promised us he would call them a currency manipulator on day one, quote unquote. He promises he put 40% tariffs on their goods, day two. None of that's happened. Just like the last leaders of the country, Obama. Just like the guy before that, Bush.
If you could speculate, what do you think a president sees when he comes into the White House that makes them almost all of a sudden instantly back off from China?
Giant corporations are making billions off the backs of slave labor over there. And they want now him to do something about patent infringement, and all the things that are side issues. I mean, they're happening, right? So communist China has stolen the secrets for the new jet that we have, the J-35, whatever. They stole secrets for the hypersonic glide missile that now they're building. They stole secrets of how to get to the moon. They got the phone numbers of everybody in this room. They got the social security numbers. We know they've done this. What have we done about it? A Zippo. So what happens when the president comes in? Either he just says, either one or the other. They say that's a promise they know they're not going to keep. Or in Trump's case, probably thought he was going to keep it. But large corporations who fund all the campaigns, everybody loves Citizens United, who's a conservative, you know, let corporations fund campaigns and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the millions of disaffected people who are listening to this show or living in that apartment house I can see out there, they've got $300 to give to a campaign, and IBM can give $50 million. So it may be free speech, but let me just tell you something. The guy with $50, the guy with $100, he's like, what the hell am I going to do about this? So large corporations have run this whole thing to make billions on the backs of American workers, and every president and every, now I will say this, every single member of the United States Congress okays it, all the way to America becoming not the world superpower. And again, if you want to see what happens to countries that were the superpower and then are not anymore, go to England. I've been there 50 times. They're not really happy over there.
No, they're not.
Not with the Islamic people moving in too. But they're not really happy. But they gave up this. They gave it up. But most changes from world superpowers, from France to England, involve wars. And this one will involve a war. Why not have it now? Why not? I mean, I'm not talking about like attacking them and bombing all their cities. I mean, if they have two lousy aircraft carriers, if they're building stuff, why don't we... The one way to make them a democracy, for them to fail, the one way that's easy is their economy collapses. But Donald Trump walks around talking about credit for the stock market. He's a numbskull to do this on this point. Believe me. One day the stock market will be down 25%. He's going to be walking around saying, it wasn't my fault. I mean, half the people don't own stocks. So when you take credit for something that half the people aren't involved in, they're looking at you like, what? Huh? What's he talking about? I don't own any stocks. Half the people in America don't own any stocks. So he's made a huge mistake on this.
Okay, but let's go back. Let's go back to China.
Yes.
Let's go back to China. When you're talking about China, I got to take a break here in a second. But when you talk about China, while we still have the military advantage, is now the time to put a stop to this.
Yes, now.
Because eventually they are going to catch us.
15 years ago, I said it was a time to put the stop to it. 10 years ago, 5 years ago. When they have seven giant aircraft carriers taking our cash and building it with the profits they make off the backs of American unemployed workers, right? And the fact that we don't make washing machines, and you read these articles from time to time, we're bringing back 300, you know, and now someone's paying every worker an extra $1,000. Great, wonderful, whatever. The competitive advantage in manufacturing continues to erode in America. And when or if the Golden Gate Bridge is destroyed, and you say to me, who's going to rebuild it as we're wandering down the street with our guns, right? And I'll say to you, we don't have a fabrication plant big enough to do it. We hadn't had one for 20 years.
Yeah, no, the only...
Everybody knows this.
The only place in the world that could rebuild that bridge is China.
They rebuilt it the last time. So if everybody knows something and we keep doing it and it's disastrous for America's future, you have children, I have children.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to keel over. What kind of world are they going to live in? Not a good one. I mean, for a lot of reasons, but preeminent is if a communist, think about it, folks. Would you want to live under Roman rule?
No.
You don't have to watch Ben-Hur to know that you didn't want to live under Roman rule if you weren't a Roman.
No, that's for sure.
I mean, they would come into the city if you did something wrong. They would salt the whole place, kill everybody. Why would the communist country be any different? They're communists. So if we could disrupt their economy now, take out their islands when they're having all kinds of problems because they killed all baby girls, right?
Yeah.
So they got a bunch of young men running around trying to get jobs. That's why they do this. They know if the young men are unemployed, and we can make them unemployed. You think the unrest in Iran was bad? They'll be revolting in communist China. That's what we want. We don't want them uniting with Russia to kind of try and take down America. That's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
But it's happening. It's really happening.
No, you're right. Now what I find really interesting is I had not heard about the base in Pakistan.
Yeah.
You never hear about these
things. Yeah, no, they're not in the news.
Nobody is talking about that.
No, China's new base will be in Pakistan.
You know, when John and I promoted this show for today, it was like, I knew we'd be talking about China. And China is, like you're saying, China is our biggest threat. And we've got, I don't know how we wake up. I don't know how we wake up Congress. I don't even know how we wake up our own corporations to say, you know, enough's enough. Because, but you've also got, academia on the other side, on the left saying, well, we need to be more like China.
Yeah.
You've got economic pundits on TV and the radio saying, well, we need to take China's model. We need to be more like China.
China's model. I mean, do they not understand, like, does David Brooks of the New York Times, supposedly Republican, not understand when he says stuff like this? That he's like dead. Like he gets killed. As a transformation goes to be like China, do they have reporters just wandering around writing what they want?
Well, you know, all they have to do is just look back at history. Look back at what Lenin did. Who are the first people that Lenin killed after he won the revolt?
David Brooks.
David Brooks, all of his donors.
Of course.
All of his donors. Of course. Everybody that financed him are the first people that he killed because, you know, he's not going to owe anybody anything.
But these things are actually happening. And so, yeah, you just type in, you know, why is China building January 5th, 2018?
Okay, hang on, Steve. We'll be right back to that. Affordable Interest Mortgage, our good friend Kurt Rogers, is there for you for refis. If you're a veteran, you may want to talk to Kurt about a veteran's loan. Or if you're a small business owner, Kurt has the asset manager loan. Give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500.
The feds have raised mortgage loan limits. This allows you to take out cash at lower rates and pay off that high interest rate debt, or do that home improvement that you keep putting off, which will increase your value even more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of you have taken out a mortgage or loans with mortgage insurance. With these new loan limits, you can refinance now and stop worrying about the second mortgage being increased as rates continue to go up, or refinance your home up to 95% of its value and eliminate the mortgage insurance payment. Did you know that having a mortgage insurance payment is like raising your rate 1 to 1.5%? Put that $200, $300, $400 of MI in your pocket, not the bank's. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. With these new loan limits, you can now purchase more home at lower rates, all without mortgage insurance. AIM has been your locally owned and operated neighbor since 2001. Online paperless applications, close quickly, get the respect you deserve. 720-895-0500. Take AIM now and see the difference. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA, equal credit lender.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the world is headed in the direction that Steve Laffey says it's headed in, you want to go out to Bristlecone Shooting and sharpen up on your shooting, because you're going to need it to fight off the communists as they come across the Great Plains, or maybe even up from Texas. You never know. They could invade California first. It could be all over. But you know what? If I'm going down, I'm going down firing off, you know, brass and lead. That's just it.
Me too,
I'm not sitting down. So anyway, Bristlecone Shooting, 303-985-0989. Give them a call. Go online, bristlecone shooting.com. Ask them about their memberships. And tonight is ladies' night. So, ladies, you get the range for free. Just head on down to Bristlecone Shooting and tell them you heard them on Rush to Reason.
When Jacqueline and Brian Clark opened Bristlecone Shooting in 2015, they intentionally created an inviting atmosphere where all levels of shooters would feel comfortable. Jacqueline knew from experience that gun shops tended to be boys' clubs, and she wanted to offer women the chance to take classes, develop their shooting skills, and enjoy the sport of shooting. In order to provide a facility where beginners would feel at ease, Jacqueline and Brian invested in a state-of-the-art HVAC system that recycles the air every 90 seconds so you never smell the gunpowder. You won't feel out of place or intimidated because Jacqueline and Brian hire all of their own instructors, and they personally train their retail employees to greet you warmly when you come in the door. Visit Bristlecone Shooting on West Cedar Drive in Lakewood and see for yourself that this isn't your grandfather's shooting range. John Rush remains confident that you will feel welcome at Bristlecone Shooting.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
And welcome back, everybody, to Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Damn, you are Steve Laffey in for the tanning John Rush. You know, he's out there on vacation.
Is that where he is?
He's in Hawaii. Aloha, Hawaii. That's where I want to go.
He loves it out there.
But he does. I mean, it's, come on. So, you know, he was there when they had the false alarm.
Oh, he was.
So, and
did he get it? Did he get a message, or did he?
Oh yeah, he said everything. He said it was more crazy for the normal residents of Hawaii than it was for the tourists. So the tourists really didn't know what was going on. You know, but the
was
the
he
average,
on a tour? Was he out?
No, he's just walking the beach.
Oh, the tourist.
So,
yes, okay.
You know, he's a tourist. So for him, it was kind of like, you know, what's going on? You know, wasn't really sure, but I guess, you know, more in the urban areas and in the you know, like Honolulu place, people were really, really excited about this. Pretty scared, and you know, quite frankly, you know, what the bad part about that, as far as you ask me, is now that if something really were to happen, the next time that thing goes off, people would be questioning it, not trusting it.
Well. So people know, if a hypersonic glide missile is coming toward Hawaii, you got about 4 minutes. So don't, you know, what's the point about, you know, duck and cover from when we were little? Oh, you're too young, baby.
No, I know. I remember that.
You know, I mean, the whole thing is a disaster, right? So you got like 4 minutes. So if you get the next message in Hawaii, just, I don't know, say your prayers.
So now can we shoot down the hypersonic
glide missile? Say Laffey was right. No, we can't. Nobody can. Nobody can shoot down a hypersonic glide missile. Now we're starting to build one too. But it gets back to the big thing about technology and American military might. Why does Trump why did not Obama, why did not Bush give major speeches about this topic, that we were given the lead in all this military stuff, you know, from World War II on, when everybody said nothing, right?
Correct.
So take a look at the history from World War II on. Somehow, Soviet Union got a nuclear missile. Why didn't we take them out then? Then we spent billions of dollars on the Iron Curtain thing, right? Think about
billions.
It. Billions.
So in other words, you think Patton was right?
Patton was totally right.
And what did Patton say?
Patton said, I ain't stopping here, baby. I'm going right to Moscow.
I'm going right to Moscow.
And he should have. And they should have let him.
And we had that. We had the armies.
They
we
had
the
nothing.
Army. We had everything.
We had no one in the.
No, our side had everything. We could have just plowed right on through.
And then we could have set our own terms. And then if you don't want a nuclear world, I mean, if America was the only people that were allowed to have nuclear weapons back then, we would still be the guys. But
you think about that. Think of how different the world would be. Think about how different the world would be if we wouldn't have allowed communism to flourish like we did. We roped out. We said, we're done. We're just tired. We're done fighting. And granted, it would have been tough. I mean, I don't think any armies really ever conquered Russia.
Right.
But we would have had it while they were down. They weren't rebuilt yet. We gave them the relief because we opened up the Western Front. We came across Europe, and Germany just couldn't fight off both sides.
Well listen, we were tired, and MacArthur went over and took over Japan. And Japan had no history of having a democracy, to my knowledge. I mean, no. You go back to you can watch the ancient movies with swords and people fighting.
Samurai
people, right? And so
samurai,
they seem to have, it took 7, 8, 9, 10 years of sort of martial law, whatever, along MacArthur was there and the other people. Why didn't we do that in Moscow? The steppe people, the country still run a lot like it was during the Tsar period. There is a strong man. And the people who live in, now we call it Russia, now say to themselves, there's a phrase in Russian history, and I can't say it in Russian, but the phrase goes like this, if only the Tsar knew. In other words, peasants would say this for 1,000 years, if only the Tsar knew how bad my life really stunk, he'd do something about it. They say that about Putin now. So Putin is a Tsar. He kills off his opposition. We saw this all coming. So all this could have been avoided.
No, it really hasn't changed much. It's just shrunk a little bit.
And so the question is, I'm not wrong about this, and you're not wrong. I mean, when it comes to communist China as another situation, when people make a mistake, let's just say Nixon made a mistake in opening up China, rather than saying, you know what, I'm not opening it up. We got to keep them really poor. Like, we can't let them get ahead at all, these Chinese people. There's too many of them. If we had done that and they were still poor, what would the trade surplus be with China? Be a lot. So if they didn't have nuclear weapons now, why was it always okay? Why were we scared about another war in the middle of Korea? The North Koreans, the one guy who escaped a month and a half ago, guy escaped.
Yeah.
Watch the video, folks, and then read the articles if you hadn't seen this. The man who escaped was roughly 6 foot tall, weighed 135 pounds. He's their tough fighting guy.
Yeah, he's the model soldier for the North Korean army.
His body is riddled with worms the size of a foot long worms or something,
right? Disgusting. Parasites, yeah.
The parasites are like, so the guy's going to live. So if that's the people we're going to face as we head north, what's the point of having 35,000 soldiers sitting in South Korea? What's really the point? If let me ask you all a question. So Japan, as I've said before, is it really a country? If you take a missile and you fly it over the continent of the United States of America and we don't shoot it down and we don't do anything about it, what do you think the next missile is going to look like? They've already flown a missile over Japan, landed on the other side of Japan. What's Japan done?
Nothing.
They're having some meetings. They don't know if they should obey the World War II thing anymore about not having an offensive thing. Listen, they have real technology in Japan, as we know. In 6 to 9 months, they could be offensive and ready to go. But they should. But the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, should be joining with Japan about this and with India and telling Australia, New Zealand, listen, guys, we know you do this anti-American demonstration once in a while. I mean, this should be a national announcement. You make a decision now. You want to be with the Chinese? They want your minerals? We're not going to defend you guys at all. What do you mean we can't take a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier into New Zealand waters? Do you know that we can't?
No, I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absurd.
So why don't we just tell New Zealand and just tell China on an open mic, Have at it.
Well, we are the only reason they're not speaking Japanese today.
That's right. So tell
people. It's us.
Tell
and people. Quite frankly, we are the only reason they're not speaking Chinese today.
That's right. And so tell these countries to stand up now. We're going to take down these islands. China's not going to go to war over these islands yet. In 10 years, well, they
see,
will.
Yeah, China can't yet.
No, they can't.
So now are we going to do like we did with Nazi Germany and wait till they build up this army that then we're really going to be losing, you know, the life's beloved American boys?
Yeah, and I would say if George Bush Sr., if Bill Clinton and all these people were alive, they should literally be hung by their toes. The mistakes they have made are going to cost my son maybe his life in a war. None of this had to happen. It doesn't have to happen now. But it's happening right before our very eyes. It's happening right now. I don't think anybody's even going to call in and say, I disagree. China's a peaceful group of people. They've done a good job. Call it and say the trade deficit doesn't matter. I love that call. Call in with all these things you could possibly say it's okay.
303-477-5600 if you want to take on Steve Laffey about the China policy.
Here's the thing. Nobody does. But then everybody goes back to work. And slowly but surely, we keep electing people who keep doing the same thing.
Well, see, when you look at history, this is the part that really scares me. When you look at history, when you let's just say bullies,
yes,
build up their armies, eventually
you have to fight.
Why not fight
them when they're weak, relatively weak?
Well, and there's other ways to fight. You don't necessarily have to start shooting yourself. There's other ways to fight back. So let's do this. Extreme Auto Repair is located in Parker. Dennis is the man, and he is concerned about your wallet. He wants to make sure that you're not spending too much on your automobile repairs. And one great way to do that is through preventative maintenance, and Dennis can help you with that. Extreme Auto Repair, 10274 South Drownsville Road in Parker, 303-841-1071, and tell him you heard him on Rush to Reason.
At Extreme Auto Repair, Dennis Brewster and his team respect your wallet. Other shops will go ahead and replace your belts only to let you know afterward that your transmission is shot. Oops, that was a waste of money. Every time you go to Extreme Auto Repair, even for something as simple as an oil change, Dennis and his team complete a comprehensive check for no extra cost. Dennis doesn't want to scare you. He simply understands that you can't make an informed decision unless you know the condition of your vehicle. Otherwise, you run the risk of spending money on the wrong repairs. The longer you wait, the more expensive those problems will become. So Dennis and his team respect your wallet by letting you know early. Extreme Auto Repair helps you prioritize which repairs need immediate attention so you save money in the long term. Take it from John Rush and all of us at KLZ. Head to Parker today for Extreme Auto Repair, where you decide how to spend your money.
All right, so maybe you're a little bit like me. Maybe you're not real handy with the tools. All my tools look brand new because they're very rarely used. However, I've got this honey-do list that's like a mile long. So I'll tell you what, take some advice from me and contact Grandma's Handyman today. And they can come out and they can take care of that whole honey-do list. And then by the time your wife gets home from work or whatever, you're the hero. Contact Grandma's Handyman today, 303-693-3003, or go to grandmashandyman.com.
For the past 13 years, Grandma's Handyman Service has been helping Coloradan seniors do all the little jobs that need to get done. Grandma's Handyman has always been in the business of helping seniors just like you. We even still offer a 10% senior discount on labor off our already affordable prices. Don't leave your projects undone for another day. Grandma's Handyman is here to help you. Call to set up an appointment at 303-693-3003. That's 303-693-3003. 3003, or find us online at grandmashandyman.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Dan Muir in for the vacationing John Rush. Along with me today is Mr. Steve Laffey, and we're talking about China. And if you got comments on China or the world situation, Why are we constantly propping up communist regimes? 303-477-5600. Or you can text me at 307-200-8222. And we had a listener text in, you know, do you know about the large presence of North Koreans in Cuba? And Steve looked it up over the break, and evidently there's something going on there still.
Well, yeah, Cuba and North Korea are strengthening their ties. just like they, I don't know about strength, but usually when a missile from North Korea goes up into the air, there's someone from Cuba, a high-ranking official there. People don't understand. So the countries that can't take us out individually, that are evil, have joined together. Venezuela, which is having so many problems, it's not really worth talking about. They owe China a lot of money. But China, Russia, Cuba, Syria, Iran, have all joined together and meet and talk about how to take down America. So again,
you know, Steve, here's the part that gets me. What in the world do they want from us? In other words, these are all countries that have vast, great natural resources, especially when you look at Venezuela, when you look at even Cuba through agriculture. I mean, these are places that could be just thriving economically.
Yes.
But for some reason, you know, they're oppressed. They've got dictators. They got people that really don't care about their own people. And yet they look at us as the enemy.
Right.
Why?
Well, the people who run the country, they know they have to stay in power. They get killed. So they want to control everything. They're just no different than the Saddam Husseins of the world. And you go on, you know, the Ayatollah. They just oppress people. So it's been going on forever, since, you know, before Romans, right? And there's only been really very few exceptions. Really, America is the exceptionally benign superpower. England was not a benign superpower. The slave trade went on, and, you know, I mean, before that, France wasn't a benign superpower. They had colonies.
Well, they're both monarchies.
Right. But they oppressed their people. I mean, ask Henry VIII. Was he, like, you know, democratic kind of guy, or did he chop off the head of a couple of wives? So, and they went, you know, even to get people to come to America, right? I mean, they had to go to the Netherlands. The original pilgrims, right? They were freedom-loving people that they had to escape England. They got caught a number of times. People were killed. So they finally went to, and the reason they came to America is that the Netherlands was becoming this place that they thought would be autocratic, right?
Right.
So they got in this little boat, the Mayflower, and it kind of came over here. And this is the experiment. It's still going on. But the thought process is that we don't have any basis in telling other countries when they are a complete something whole, tell them to their faces. You take Haiti, for example. What would be wrong with saying Haiti is a complete crap hole?
Well, you know, absolutely nothing. You know, that brings up this. So I've been wanting to get to this. So as you know, our esteemed Senator Dick Durbin is really, really upset that Donald Trump would say such a thing about other countries. Carly, go ahead and play the Dick Durbin soundbite.
I want to tell you, I left that meeting in the Oval Office in the White House sickened and heartbroken. I cannot imagine that in the history of that room, that hallowed room where the President of the United States goes to work every day, there has ever been a conversation quite like that. It was vile, it was hateful, it was racist.
The President reached a new low yesterday.
I don't know that I can measure depth when it comes to this president, but I will tell you that I came back shaken, personally and politically shaken by what he said.
You know, I mean, these guys are such politicians. It's absolutely unbelievable, Steve. I mean, this is like, you know, for the average guy, for Donald Trump to say what he said about these other countries, it's kind of like, it's almost refreshing because you've actually got a president calling a spade. You know, why else are these people fleeing these countries, right, to come to America? Because they're crapples.
Right.
They're absolute crapples. So here's the deal. So I sent out our esteemed reporter, Scoop Keats, to go to Boulder to find out what Charlie's on the phone. I need Charlie to play this clip. So to find out why, see if Dick Durbin was right. So, Charlie, let's hear from Scoop Keats.
Scoop Keats here. Wow, guys, it's been a while. I've been investigating this flat earther claim that Australia doesn't exist. But more on that later. For now, I've been called back to the good old USA because something a lot more important has come up. Last week, during a meeting about the controversial policy DACA, it has been reported that President Donald Trump may have said something insensitive. I know it may be hard to believe, but allegedly the president called several third world nations holes and postulated that if the U.S. could ditch its immigration lottery system that favors people from certain nations and focus on a more merit-based system, that would benefit the U.S. as a whole. But before we can even get into the actual policy changes that supposedly could help the U.S., we must address the claim that Senator Dick Durbin, among others, claimed that when President Trump said the word hole, it caused an emotional outburst right there in the meeting, but also that it could possibly affect individuals nationwide. So I came up to Boulder, Colorado to investigate this claim that uttering the word holes could have a broader impact than anyone may think.
Hi, Scoop Keats with Rush to Reason. So what do you think of what the president said last week about accepting immigrants from whole countries?
I can't believe someone could be so so horrible.
Hello. So what do you think about the president's comments on DACA?
It makes me sick.
Hello. I'm asking people around here what they think about what the president said last week at the DACA meetings. Well, there you have it, folks. Apparently, Dick Durbin was right. It doesn't matter if you're a small child, a mom, or a full-grown man who just happens to be a senator. When the president said the words, "hole," it caused uncontrollable tears nationwide. This is Scoop Keats reporting for Rush to Reason.
So, Steve, I think Scoop Keats there nailed it. Evidently, Dick Durbin's right. If you live in Boulder, you know, they're really upset over the comments that Donald Trump made.
Dick Durbin is the most evil, vile. Even when he's saying these comments, you know he doesn't believe a single word. The whole meeting, can I just stop about this whole meeting just happened? So one, if I'm the president, I don't invite Dick Durbin anywhere. I don't invite him to the toilet. I don't invite him to watch me go to the toilet. I don't invite him anywhere. Why? Of course he's going to say something that's a complete lie. Then think about it. If I'm in a meeting and we're sitting and the mics are off, blah, 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 and there's 20 of us, John Rush is over there, blah, 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 and you say that Haiti is a complete hole.
Yeah.
Like, I heard you say that. There's like, the Tom Cotton said he didn't say it. The president said he might not have said it. There's 25 people who all say something different, but obviously he said it or didn't say it. Third, there's nothing wrong at all with calling Haiti a complete crap hole. I mean, whether it's
everybody in Haiti thinks it is.
Let's go on. Just in case you were living under a rock, Haiti is fairly near America, and even compared to Mexico, which is mostly a complete
crap hole,
but not totally a complete hole. But Haiti is a complete one. One, they do this voodoo thing all over the place. This thing about voodoo—they believe in voodoo. What could be? That's
nothing,
complete.
Nothing worse. It's just
they don't have any Protestant work ethic.
None whatsoever. Okay, let's do this. Hey, Warren, you're up next. Welcome to Rush to Reason. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, and it's a good program today.
But thank you.
Thank you.
And Steve knows I love him.
Well, thank you, Warren. Yes.
I could listen to this guy all day long.
I can't do it. I love thank him.
You. I'll tell you what, he's right as rain on China. I don't understand Trump's mental capacity right now on China, but Steve is dead right on this.
Well, thank you.
And I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis very well, and I wished it would have turned out a little bit different.
Yeah, me too. I really
do. Let me ask both of you guys this. And Warren, you're a little bit older, I think, than Steve, and I know you're a little bit older than me. But why isn't Cuba a territory today, a U.S. territory?
I can't tell you guys. It should have been.
It should have been. And it should have been at the last straw. Listen, the Bay of Pigs was a mistake. Kennedy inherited a bad plan from Eisenhower, it looks like. We don't really, you know, they go back and forth in the history of it. But when those missiles were coming, instead of turning around, there were many, many U.S. Marines sitting in Florida. One of my father's best friend, Judge Needham, was in Florida, became a U.S. senator. Link Chafee's father, John Chafee, a real guy, was a Marine, was in Florida. And they all should have went in. They should have went in. They should have killed Castro. They should have announced that the Monroe Doctrine reigns in the Western Hemisphere. Nobody comes near it. Nobody sends a ship near it that we don't want to see it. We will send our white navy out to patrol your country, which we should be able to do today, but we can't. We don't have enough ships, right? We should have a 600-ship navy. We got 200 of them. And so this is the stuff that should have been done. And the question is, where do you go to find these people in history? Because everybody, listen, I'm not against John F. Kennedy. I could be a John F. Kennedy Democrat in many respects, right? If there's none of them exist.
I think a lot of
I like cutting taxes.
Well, John F. Kennedy would not be welcomed into the Democrat Party today. No way.
No way. And Warren, I don't know if you remember the the debate that the Democrats had, and Jim Webb showed up. Jim Webb showed up to one debate. He ran for president. And Jim Webb is a John F. Kennedy Democrat. And if and people should go back and watch this debate because it's absolutely hilarious. They ask during the debate, now, Jim Webb is a Democrat. He's a novelist. He was a Secretary of the Navy under Reagan. Okay? So he's a real guy.
He's a real guy.
He was in Vietnam. He fought for our country. So he's in this debate. And they asked the question, who would hate you the most? And Hillary Clinton says Republicans. And somebody else says whatever, this other clown from Delaware says something else, or from Maryland. And Jim Webb says, I think it's those people I threw a hand grenade on in Vietnam and killed them all, or something. I'm paraphrasing. And you and the Republicans would have, Republican crowd would have got up and clapped.
Absolutely.
Dead silence.
Oh,
the guy's polling at 1%. He would have been a good president. I mean, listen, I disagree with Jim Webb on a number of issues, but he would have been a good man to be president in a sense, you know, maybe the last remaining Democrat that was.
I wonder if he still is a Democrat.
I don't know. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, that's a great story. Warren, hey, Warren, I really want to thank you for your call, but most of all, thank you for your service, man. We really appreciate
you. Thank you, Warren. God bless you.
Thanks, guys.
Good man.
Thanks, Warren. And by the way, if you're a veteran like Warren and you don't have a VA loan, Brian Murphy is your guy. Get a hold of Brian Murphy today at Front Range Mortgage, 303-500-1900.
If you are a Colorado veteran and you are not in a VA mortgage, you've probably been lied to. If you're a veteran and not in a VA mortgage, 99% guaranteed, you're paying too high a rate, throwing away thousands of dollars a year to a bank that will never tell you they're taking you for a ride. As a vet, you're entitled to use a VA loan over and over again. You should be paying zero in mortgage insurance, and you can take out 100% of the value of your home for paying off credit cards. Your bank is never going to tell you how much you're throwing away, but I will. I'm Brian Murphy, owner of Front Range Mortgage, a local Colorado-only mortgage team that has helped hundreds of veterans to drop their mortgage insurance, save thousands, lowering their payments, and pay off high-interest credit cards. Call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to see how much we can save you. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com. NMLS 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
I tell you what, you really need to be here during the breaks. We get totally animated during the breaks. But anyway, Life Choices. Hey, we got the sharpshooting event coming up for Life Choices. And Life Choices is totally self-funded through donations like yours. Life Matters at Life Choices. Get online. Go to lifematters.org. Sign up for the sharpshooting event coming up on February 10th. Use the promo code KLZ560 and save $5 off the registration fee. But I'll tell you what, you want to go down there, you want to start shooting, and you want to support Life Choices. Once again, go to lifematters.org or call 970-461-5050 and tell them you heard it on Rush to Reason.
Saturday, February 10th, rescue unborn babies while challenging your shooting skills. Sign up today for the 6th annual Life Choices Sharpshooter Competition. Enjoy a catered dinner at Front Range Gun Club in Loveland while you compete for Best Shooter of the Night. Best of all, your ticket extends a message of hope to women facing unplanned pregnancies. With 5 medical centers across northern Colorado, Life Choices offers pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, and prenatal support free of charge. Every year, hundreds of women decide against abortion because of Life Choices. And the 6th annual Sharpshooter Competition will keep that good work going. Your $85 ticket includes dinner and the competition. Plus, you can enter to win a brand new handgun. Saturday, February 10th at Front Range Gun Club in Loveland. Register today at lifematters.org. Enter promo code KLZ560 for $5 off your ticket price.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Okay, welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon rush. Dan Muir, Steve Laffey in for the tan, rusted, and ready John Rush.
Good for him.
No, it's not.
Oh,
I used to love the guy. No, I do. I still love
him.
He's
wonderful.
No, he's a great guy. So anyway, so we had a caller call in and say, you know, hey, Trump is refuting that he even said this stuff. And other people are saying that, refuting that he said this as well. But I really don't care.
Why aren't the meetings taped?
Okay, so what?
I just don't understand what's going on.
So Trump said he's going to start taping them from now on.
He should have laughed. He's been through this 7 times. People come into meetings.
But, you know, he uses this to his advantage. And I think that especially, you know, when you're an average guy, when you're kind of like me, you're out there, you know, working every day, you know, I come in and do the radio show, but then I'm just out there like everybody else. I'm out there trying to make a buck or whatever. And you're so tired of the pompous. You're so tired of the, well, I'm the political class and I'm so much better than
right.
you. Sometimes you're just like a frank speaking guy. That's one of the reasons I supported you when you were running for Congress.
Yeah.
You just speak it like it is, yeah. right? With the bark on. And you know what? If you call a crap hole with the C word or the S word, it's still a crap hole.
It's still, these are one of these issues that one, we don't need to spend that much time on as a country. It's good radio stuff.
That's great.
But two, no one's out there disagreeing with that. It's a crap hole.
Well,
nobody, literally nobody.
Well, the left is apologizing for it.
The left will, but they know it's a crap hole.
And the political class. Well, we can't be going around calling another country a crap hole. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And you should all the time.
Yeah.
Greg, you're up next. Welcome to Rush to Reason. How you doing?
All right, Dan. One of the questions I have is, we've got a crap hole on our southern border. Is there any reason why that state of Mexico is not actually a territory of the United States? Seeing as how we already fought one war with them, and probably we need to overthrow that government down there and save those people so that they're not...
Well, you know, Craig,
you're
right. When we had the American-Mexican War, we should have stayed in control down there. The problem is, I don't know if we had the resources to do it.
Yeah,
like
or do we have them now? I mean, we could be involved in a very itchy situation, but
maybe
the point...
Maybe if we didn't have them all in Europe or over in Asia or in all the other countries around the world, we might have enough power to do it.
Well, that's a great point. But it is true. The easy one, for example, is Haiti. If again, a guy by the name of MacArthur, showed up in Haiti and declared martial law and gave them like 10 years to get the property rights straightened out. You just divide the property up, put in a U.S. Constitution, make voodoo illegal. Literally, Haiti could be a thriving country. And then 15 years from now, just like Japan is like, well, thank God America put in a martial law after World War II and sent MacArthur over here to live. Otherwise, we'd be back to the feudal lords and so forth. Japan became the second largest economy, now the third largest economy in the world. And it happened over 40 years, not 400 years. Haiti could be a thriving, lucrative place with some condos and some...
They could even have a few trees.
Yes.
We could actually go over there and plant some trees.
And they would grow.
And they'd
be chopped down for the last piece of... What would they... I don't even... The whole thing is crazy.
Well, you look at... You ever see that satellite photo of Haiti and the Dominican Republic? On the one side, you know, Dominican
Republic. Yes, that's right.
On one side,
green.
On the other. Yeah. You just tell by the tree line.
That's right. Nothing but trees and nothing but just
it's
crown. Look at it from the moon.
I'm just thinking that Monroe Doctrine was a very good doctrine.
It was.
And we ought to bring our troops back over here on our side of the ocean.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with you when it comes to the Monroe Doctrine. I mean, for example, Venezuela borrowing money from communist China, trying to be the new Cuba, is running into major problems, and people are literally dying in the country today.
Well, if we don't do something, China will own Venezuela.
Yeah, and so we've got to just...
And unfortunately, we're going to have to stick our noses in there and do something about this.
But never stick your nose in a small way.
If we don't do something, Mexico's going to own us.
Yeah, Mexico will probably just kind of meander around for the next 300 years till Jesus comes back.
Mexico does not have its crap together.
Yeah, that's so bad. I mean, Mexico has so much oil that they can't get out of the ground because they run up on the state. I mean, they're trying to do things here and there. But remember, not everybody, I mean,
They're conquering us by illegal immigration.
You're right on that, Greg. I mean, we are being invaded, no question about it.
They all have to go back.
Yeah.
What's so hard about this?
And the way to make those people have a better life is to make Mexico a territory and eventually a state.
Or put your, just simply...
I wouldn't want to see a state.
No, not a state, but simply, I'll tell you what. What you
state.
Do, seal them off. Don't allow. And like Steve is saying, Steve says we should change China's through sanctions. What if we need to do the same thing with Mexico?
Yeah.
And eventually they'll feel the pain. They'll have to do something.
Or they won't, but it's not really our problem. In other words,
Not Mexico, if we sail off the border.
Mexico lives. Listen, I've been over across the border. I've been in some pretty dangerous place going south of Tucson one time. It's a big article about me doing this a long time ago. And you can't believe what you'd see. When you see people coming into a city of Altar, Mexico, and literally getting off giant buses and looking for cell phones, looking for dial phones to find a way to have money sent so they could come across the border, and everybody drives a van. When I was driving into the city, every house had a van. They don't put six people in the van and drive them to the border. This is 25 miles.
They
put 20 people in and they drive them to the border.
Dump them
for
off.
A living, a whole town.
And the way to solve that is to get rid of that corrupt government they have and institute a proper government that cares about the people. The Mexican people are good people.
Yeah,
no question about it.
Sucks.
Right.
No, you got that right. Greg, thanks for the phone call, man. You are absolutely right. Bruce Simmons, American Liberty Mortgage. If you are 62 years or older and you own your home, you could qualify for a reverse mortgage, and it might just be the tool you need to do the things you want to. Contact Bruce Simmons today, 303-467-7821, and tell him you heard him on Rush to Reason.
Bruce Simmons, KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, conducts business in person because you, the homeowner, deserve to understand the process. Bruce gladly meets you in your own home, at a local restaurant, or wherever you prefer so that you may ask questions in a comfortable, relaxed atmosphere. Your reverse mortgage allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into cash, potentially increasing your retirement resources by hundreds of thousands of dollars. You must interact face-to-face with your lender in order to fully grasp how the loan works. After dealing exclusively in reverse mortgages for nearly 15 years, Bruce knows that a phone conversation does not provide the same sense of security, and Bruce wants you to feel entirely at ease while you explore the details of your unique loan. Call 303-467-7821 to schedule a meeting with KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist. You will make a decision with complete confidence because you speak directly with Bruce.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Dan Muir, Steve Laffey in for John Rush. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. But Steve, you know, I've been watching these protests and these high school and college kids saying socialism's the answer. I mean, that would save all of the problems in the world.
I don't know who their parents are. I really don't. I don't know that the worst problem we have are these parents who are roughly my age. I don't know what to say about them. Who are they bringing up? Who are you bringing up out there? Do you have kids that really think this? My kids watch Free to Choose, Milton Friedman's TV show, when they're like 10. They watch, if you don't know, go type in Free to Choose. It was a TV show that came out in 79, 1980, with the book Free to Choose. It's Milton Friedman, and he goes and does something on school choice. And he ends up in Hong Kong. And he's, you know, and then he has a half hour of that, teaching you about school choice. And then he sits around with a bunch of communists and a bunch of conservative guys. Harrington's a communist. Thomas Sowell in his younger days is sitting around, and you watch it for a half hour. My kids all watched it. None of them believe that. They all know capitalism is the way to go. Teach your kids.
Well, this is the problem when you have government-run education.
And my kids don't go to it.
Because government-run education, what's the first thing it's going to do, Steve, is
government's
protect
good. Yeah.
The government.
Yeah.
It's not going to teach you to be independent thinking. It's not going to teach you that the government's bad. I mean, when you look at it, one of the most affluent schools in Denver, Cherry Hill Schools District, is teaching their seniors how to apply for welfare.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's one of their required type classes they
go to. Well, just so a little bit more about me.
Yeah. Yeah, 30 seconds.
The Laffeys don't do any of this. We don't go anywhere near a public school. I did a long time ago. I have six children. And one time I took the kids on a trip to Ireland for a month, and they were young, Sam and Sarah, you know, fifth and sixth grade or whatever it was. And all of a sudden it occurred to me that they didn't know any math. They knew about math. They just didn't know any math. And the communist people sort of teaching them, the school committee person when I was the mayor, they never went back. They never went back. Samuel went to law school at 20.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But, you know, we have a few here homeschooled people that are in this building, at work here at the station, they're the most amazing, bright, well-adjusted.
And every one of my buddies who have kids who are teenagers, like, oh, they're learning, they do this stuff, and they play on these computer games. I'm like, well, you let them? What are you doing? My kids don't do that. My kids think The Big Valley just came on TV as a TV show.
I love it. Okay, that's it. Hour number one is over. Damn, you're Steve Laffey in for John Rush. Stay tuned for hour number two. Rush to Reason. Keep it tuned right here.